everyone. Welcome to season three of the Passion and Purpose podcast with myself and these amazing guys that are here today. I am so excited for season three because we're going to be talking about one of the most significant things that I've ever been a part of in my life, and that is Passion 2024. And we're going to start that today with a conversation with Christian, Mel, and Brett, just talking a little bit about the journey to Passion, the journey to the Bends, and particularly as you guys were carrying the songs for Passion 24 all year long, and then seeing how God moved in the midst of those songs and in our midst while we were in that place. So welcome, Brett. Great having you on
board.
Great
to be here.
Brett is a very special friend of mine.
Yes.
And
special guy.
Honored.
Yeah.
Special
guy. And the family.
Yes.
And Christian Stanfill, Melody Malone. Thank you guys for joining the Passion and Purpose podcast. I'm excited.
Absolutely. We're happy to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. We have not been in a face-to-face conversation, the four of us, since Passion. That was 40 days ago when we walked out of the Bends. And you know, I was talking to Levi Lesko yesterday, and I hadn't talked to Levi in real detail since Passion, and he and Jenny were going on and on about conference for the whole podcast we did together. And the whole time I just found myself feeling clunky, like I don't know how to get the right words around what we experienced at Passion this year. And we've had an amazing run of following God for 25 years-ish, and we've seen God do some incredible things. Yeah. But this year, you know, that watermark on the tree is pretty high. And the flood came through, and you can see the residual, I think, on every heart and every life that was in that place.
Yes. Yeah, I think I agree with you. Trying to process has been clunky. I think that's a good word. And I think I've figured out that part of it, I'm just supposed to leave a mystery and just thank God for it and delight in it and praise Him for it and just let it be, you know. And people are going to, you know, hear the music and watch some of these videos and recall some of these moments, and they're going to feel and sense what God did in those moments, and that's beautiful. But then part of me wants to understand and ask God for wisdom and say, what was it about the runway up to these days that set these days apart and that opened the door for you to do what you did and what you're continuing to do?
Right.
Because I believe He's still doing it. And the work He's doing on the earth, we're in it. Yeah. It's happening. And I want to be a part of it today. So there's that weird dichotomy of like, thank you, God. I don't need to understand all of what you're doing, but at the same time, I want to understand as much as you want me to understand.
I don't want to try to formularize this and because of A, B, and C, this is what the result was. But at the same time, if there's something to be learned about navigating in that space and preparing for that space and for God to move in the ways that we saw Him move at Passion this year, then by all means, I want to be a part of understanding that, being a part of it. Yeah. Let's just go back for a minute. And I know I'm not sure if we can even really get anywhere with going down this road, but let's just try. So we released a video of Agnes Day. So you may have seen that already. It's out everywhere. The official video, there were lots and lots of videos from people's phones that are amazing. But Passion released a video, Six Steps Records did. And I hadn't seen any footage from conference until I saw that video.
Wow.
I had not gone back and watched a session back. I hadn't gone back. I just wanted it all to stay right here, you know, like in my memory and the way that I felt it in the moment, felt Him in the moment. But John Duke sent me a link to the video before they turned it in, and I was at home by myself. Shelley was at dinner with some friends, and man, I just sat there and wept again.
Yeah.
And it was as powerful watching it at home by myself as it was being in that stadium during that moment with 55,000 people. And the anointing is real. I'm telling you, it is not, I'm not hyping this up. It's still there. It's still residual. And the album is now out. A lot of you have been listening to the record already. Came out on March 1st, Call on Heaven. And man, whew, it's just all over it. You can just sense that God was moving and stirred in the place. But let's go back to Friday morning. It's the last morning. It's not normally when you're expecting a big giant left turn in a 3-day gathering. It's the last session. You guys are trying to get some songs down. But we're all expectant, and we all are believing for something special. And in the middle of the set, you pull out Agnes Dei and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lights out.
Yeah.
Face down.
Yeah.
I mean, just in the processing and thinking back through from beginning, from January 3rd to the end of January 5th, the journey that we had been on was so beautiful. And the runway was always leading us to a moment like that. And we couldn't have said it then, but we can look back now and say, yeah, we can see how there were markers along the way.
Building.
It was building, And even in the language, there was so much heaven language, holy, holy, holy language from the very beginning to the very end. And I was telling you this the other day, Louis, but your talk on the night of the 4th, the magnitude of the cross, that giant 70-foot cross in the room, if not for that talk, we could never enter into that space, the Agnus Dei space. How could we ever be in the presence of a holy God like that?
Wow.
Without the cross and without the sacrifice of Jesus. And I remember thinking that face down on the stage that day, like, what a miracle that we can be in this moment right now. And and the shadow of that cross is like still being cast on the stage. And man, just to think about that progression, and so many people had come to faith and come alive in Jesus that previous night. They woke up the next morning to, oh, worthy is the Lamb, holy, holy, holy. And now they're looking around going, I couldn't have stood in this moment yesterday, but the door was open. Thank you, Jesus. And so I just think about the progression of those days and how kind of God, how intentional of God in his wisdom to lead us through to that moment.
I totally agree with you in that. Like, just the depth of the preaching of the gospel throughout those days. And to think about where people were that first night and where we landed that last morning. And you see the power of the gospel begin to change and transform people. So it's a different, whole different group of, you know, 50 plus thousand people singing. You might even be singing the same song you were singing on the first night, but your heart has been like totally turned upside down by God's grace. And I just think about how that was just, he was worshiped and then the gospel was preached, he was worshiped, and that was just building all the way through. I totally agree.
Yeah, I love that we're, you know, this podcast kind of has a music theme because we're talking about the Passion album, Call on Heaven, but already we're talking about preaching and worship. And I'm fired up about that.
Absolutely.
And if you're listening to this conversation today and you're a worship leader or a pastor, it's not one or the other. It's always both. The preaching of the Word of God is what unleashes revelation and understanding of God, which then results in adoration of God and worship of God, which fuels us to go and proclaim the Word of God and to preach the Word of God. And it's that cycle of worship and word that's so powerful. I think it's the, you know, the beauty of Passion is our commitment to the preaching of the Word.
That's right.
And to the worship of the Savior who is the Word of God.
Yes.
That's right.
And it's powerful. It's beautiful. So we're talking about the 3 days from the 3rd to the 5th. It was a progression, but let's go way back. Let's go back to like January of last year. And just as we set our sights on Passion at church in January of last year, we started saying we don't want to do business as usual. We don't want to just show up and have another gathering and go through the motions. We want to make space for God to move. And that carried over into our preparation for conference, and it was different last year.
Yes,
going up that mountain than in some other years. It wasn't better or worse. It was just different. And even the fact that we didn't announce who was speaking or who was leading worship or who, what friends were going to be there with us until the very, very end. And we only did it at the end so that people wouldn't be distracted during the gathering going, I wonder if so-and-so is going to be here tomorrow. So we finally just said, here's who's going to be here. But it wasn't a promo. It was really us telling the story of the movement of Passion through the years and our hope for what would happen in this gathering, summarized with that simple phrase, call on heaven. Call on the God of heaven and see what will happen in the midst. And that was the long arc of an entire year of expectation that, God, we just want to meet with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I know for me, a lot of that came out of being at Asbury. We were talking about it when you walked in. And I was only there for one night, but I walked away that night thinking about Passion and knowing that we were going to be in this football stadium and wanting that same hunger and that same sense of God's presence with his people and that same freedom that, you know, Asbury, most of the time the people in the seats were the ones leading the worship,
right?
Yes.
Not the people on the stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I knew coming into the bins, we got to make space to let these guys feel like this is us singing, not we're here watching y'all sing or being led by you singing, but this is us. I can hear me.
Yeah.
I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear the guy behind me. This is us. This
That's
is
right.
our
yeah.
voice.
That's right.
And our anthem.
That's right.
I remember having that conversation with you when you got back from Asbury, and it was more surrounding church and what was happening at Passion City Church in it, you know, every Sunday, of just this desire for not, yes, for us to lead, but also for the people to actually lead and for the people to take over, and just encouraging us as leaders to know and to be sensitive to when should we step back from the mic, you know, and just let the people take it. And so leading up, I think the whole year, Sundays or wherever we were, there were always these moments where, at least for me, I was just like testing, like, and just seeing like, okay, are people going to take it? Is there this sense of hunger and thirst and desire for God? And sometimes I'd throw it out there and like, nah, okay, we're not there yet. Like, that's not where we are collectively as a group of people yet. You know, like, it's just not, that's not today. And that's not where we're at. So to see some moments like that happen throughout the year, but then to get to session six, and I was just like, I had this one moment where I really thought, I was like, it's happening. Like, it's actually like this desire that we've had this whole year, like, God is doing that. He is like, he is actively putting that desire and that hunger. And there's Psalm 63. Like, that is what I felt like. I was like, man, this is happening in this space right now. And it's so individual. But it was just the culmination. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but of what we had talked about when you got back from Asbury, and just seeing that day in and day out at church, and just then seeing that hunger and thirst in this generation was just beautiful.
Yeah, I think also the word readiness comes to mind. And I think you putting that banner over our gatherings last year, not business as usual, just set such a great tone.
Yeah.
You know, when something is business as usual, you can kind of phone it in. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what to expect. This is just business as usual. Plug and play, man. It's like just cookie cutter, this thing. But when it's not business as usual, you are pitched forward the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening next? Where are we going? What are we doing?
Yeah.
And the whole year, it felt that way. Like, we were pitched forward. Going, what now? Where are we going now? And even in our preparation for conference, I think one of the first times I felt that was we had a programming production meeting about Passion in August. And it was an hour long. And I was actually driving to Nashville to do some writing. So I was zooming in. And you took the first half hour of that meeting and led us to be still, be silent, and just hear from God. And then after some silence, we spoke out, what are some pictures? What are some words? What are some prayers that are rising to the top? That was the first 30 or 45 minutes of the meeting. And we're just praying and sharing, you know, dreams and words about Passion. And then the last 15 minutes, we maybe got to a few things. We need to talk about this, but I remember hanging up that call and going, that was different, that we are on a different track here. And that was how the whole trajectory felt leading up to conference.
Yeah, Shelley and I in March were at a tennis tournament in Miami. Mm. they hold it around the football stadium, and the main big court is actually in the stadium. And we were having a big phone call around how are we going to tell the story of Passion 2024. And so some of our film guys were on the call, some creative folks from our team, and we're sitting out, Shelley and me, in the parking lot, and we're with some friends, I won't say who they are, but most people know them, and they had gone in. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, we have to take a phone call. And they're like, we're at the tennis tournament. You know, you run Passion. Can't you have somebody else take the phone call? I'm like, no, we actually work, you know, so we'll be in the phone call. So we're sitting in the car, we're on the phone. And the person just laughed at me the whole rest of the day. Like, well, don't bother Louie. He's got to probably go take a phone call. You know, he's got work to do. He's got to be somewhere. He's got to get on a conference call. And he's like, you know, about what? About a promo video. A promo video. You're on a phone call. We're in here at the tennis tournament. You're talking about a promo video. I'm like, yes, I was. But we made this video. Our film team made this incredible video. The first one we released, it didn't have any words on it. It was like, it didn't show anybody on a stage. It didn't show anything flashy. It just showed the hunger of tens of thousands of students coming to these gatherings. And it was one of the most powerful videos we've ever made to tell the story of Passion. And from that moment until that Friday morning, it was just, God, we don't want the normal route. We want you. And if we don't get you, this whole thing, in my, for my money, is going to be a bust.
Right.
I mean, it's a packed stadium. It's a big deal. There's a lot of great content. But if you don't show up and move in a powerful way, it's going to be a huge bust for all of us. And when you guys all just got out of the frame and everybody's down on their knees or face or just with God, and the people have now taken over, and they're doing their best in a football stadium, but you got like three Agnes Days going.
At some point,
you got three hundred going, and you got the floor section going, and you got a little echo coming up here. And then Jeff Lawson, you know, just totally led by the Spirit. Just gently puts his hand on the keyboard, and he's like, okay, guys, this is the rhythm. Here we are. Here we are, and all of a sudden, all the voices came back together. And the volume just went. And then something just lifted off in the place. It was so otherworldly. And, you know, I'm up in the stands just sitting there just like, oh, Lord. Oh, my gosh. And the wave just kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming. And I had the thought right in that moment, being the guy who was, you know, in charge enough to be in a promo video call, I thought, this might go all day. Christine Kane, most likely not speaking this morning. I don't know where this is going to go. And it was the best feeling of just knowing that we were with God. And I'm talking a lot. I would love you guys to pitch in. But I had sensed that the morning before, woke up, had this impression on my heart, day and night, night and day, went found that text, came in. I wanted to start that day with us just hearing ourselves sing. So we just started singing Worthy of It All, just voices in the arena. And then Carrie and Cody took over and started leading, and then they had this video package in their second or third song that has all the lyrics from the passage that I had just read and that was in your heart and in you guys' heart and journey. And and I was like, oh, man, the Holy Spirit has got all this weaving together right now. And I just was like,
I love that moment.
We're good. We're good.
I looked over at you, and you looked at me and said, I didn't know they were doing that. And I looked back and said, I know you didn't know.
Talk about some of the things in y'all's heart in terms of preparation. What was God stirring you in the months, weeks before we walked in to the bins?
I think just in that same spirit, I mean, being at Asbury and just being at our young adults here and just seeing that real hunger for God was such a huge thing. I think somewhere in the midst of the summer, God led me to this passage in John 1, where Jesus has this interaction with Nathanael, and he basically sees him, and that blows Nathanael's mind. And which I just felt like that was such a word for this generation. It's just like, see me, see me, see me. Yeah. And Jesus is like, I do. But then at the end, he goes, yeah, but you're going to see much greater things than that. You're going to see the heavens open up and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And I just took that as a word from Jesus that he wanted to lead us into the greater things, into that open heaven. And so that was something for me, especially just down into like writing some of these songs and just like, I was just going, God, we have seen you do so much, but there's even more. Like, there's so much more, and I want people to see you for who you really, really are. So I think that was just a huge thing that I just was carrying through the fall as we would go to different campuses and different things like that.
That's right.
I think for me, it's fun. You know, conference is always right after Christmas. So, which can be crazy, but there's also the journey of Advent that you go on for Christmas, which I actually love that that coincides with leading up to conference. And for me this year, I just really spent a lot of time thinking about Mary and the scripture that just basically talks about how, you know, she was surrendered to the will of the Father, you know, really and truly, and just said, let it be to me according to your word. And I think just in life, for conference as well, but just in life, I just had this idea and this thought that I really wanted to be a space for God to come and dwell, like in my life. I want to be completely surrendered. Like Jesus came and God did what he did in her life in the space of her surrender. And so I just said, I want to be a space for God and I want to be a space for people. And just be surrendered to whatever that is. And I woke up, I remember waking up the morning of conference because it's just, it's beyond anything that you'll ever be able to feel like you have control of. And I like being in control and I like doing all of that. And I just had to say, let God be God. Like all of these moments, anything, whatever is going to happen, I just need to let you be you because I don't want to actually be in control of this because I can't be in control of this. That would be awful. I just want to be surrendered to whatever you have in this space. And I want to be a space for you, whatever that means. And I want to be a space for people to encounter you. And so I feel like that's what I saw actually happen. And it was just it was a gift, I think, for me just to see that he came and did that. And it was not about anything I did. It was just literally about letting go and letting him be who he is.
You know, I think other leaders that are listening maybe today are like, "Ooh, man, that sounds a little dicey." You know, you want to put a frame around an experience, and you know, I have a message to preach, and we've got guests here, and you know, we've got a parking situation going on outside, and so we can't just like open, you know, our hands and say, "God, come do whatever you want to do," because we got kids in bloom.
Totally.
You know, some parents need to go pick them up at some point in time.
That's right.
But I just want to encourage all of us to not be like that. We might be missing the miracle because we're afraid it might get messy. And I just, you know, during those 20 minutes, I wasn't really thinking too much about organizational leadership or responsibility or what time do we have to be out of here, because it was taking my breath away. But at the same time, I wasn't concerned that it was going to mess anything up.
Yeah. Right.
Because it was beautiful. And special and heavenly, and it was like, what could be messed up? We're experiencing the best of the best of the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and if I could say too, I just feel like you and Shelley lead with that tension really, really well, where it's that, I really think at the basement level, it's that hunger of like, we want that moment. Like, we want to be in the moment with Jesus. We don't want to miss it. And we want to steward all the things that God's called us to steward, and to put the right teams in place, the systems, the structure, just to do what we can do, you know. And but the drive, it feels like, I feel like with you, from you guys into our team, is like, we want to be with Jesus and we want people to see and know him. And I feel like that just like permeates through our whole what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
It
makes me think of something that you kept saying to us as we would, as we were gathering and praying at conference. God does what he wants, when he wants, through whomever he wants to do it.
Yeah, so good.
And you kept saying that. And I just want to say that to every worship leader and every leader, that God does what he wants, when he wants, through whomever he wants. I think the our responsibility is to be ready for it. Are we listening? Are we watching? And when that time comes, do we know what to do with it?
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Are we moving with him and participating with him in what he wants to do? He knows about all the dynamics and all the time and all the people and all the things. But are we ready to move with him in those moments? Yeah. And in that moment, we had 20 minutes. We could, and we did. and nobody was watching the clock. It was just like,
I didn't know it was 20 minutes.
I didn't either. It could have been 3 hours.
I looked up, but when we got up, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
That's right.
Yeah, and just really technically, we had like more of the set that we just didn't do, but because it didn't matter, you know, like that's exactly what needed like to happen.
Yeah, all the things, you know, from my viewpoint, just went right in that little window of God's goodness, and the sun is shining through this window right here, right on my face, and that's making me think about from where we were sitting, the sun was coming in the opposite windows at the bends and coming straight down on the stage, and I haven't asked our team if anyone went and measured light angles before they decided how the B stage was going to go in the room, because it was a little bit off center. And if anybody had gone, because I don't want to know the answer. I want to just live with the reality that I don't think anybody did.
We're living with the ignorance.
I agree.
You know, it's just so crazy that God is stirring, God's moving. And this gigantic, but if you see it in a photograph, you're just like, oh, they had these massive spotlights up in the top shining, you know, on the stage. And it's like, no, there was a massive light, but it wasn't anything man-made. It was all God's doing of just putting it all in order in the right way at the right time. And it was just powerful. And when you, when it ended, I was like, I don't know what Christian's going to do, but you apparently looked at Brad Jones and just said, that's it, we're done. And here, and so the set ended up being, what, 10 minutes over or something? Or maybe 10 minutes over, 15 minutes over what it was supposed to be? So it felt like we spent an hour with God. But yet here we are, we're still relatively, you know, within the realm of possibility that this session's going to end on time. And that was the beautiful thing. It was like the five loaves and the fish. It was like God was multiplying the time somehow exponentially and spiritually in the experience. And all this, maybe if you're listening, sounds kind of mystical, and it was. It was kind of mystical. And so we're not lifting up a mysterious faith. Our faith is rooted in Jesus. We know Jesus through the revelation of the Word of God. We're not on some new age wavelength, but there is mystery in the stirring of the Spirit of the living God among his people. And we tasted and we have seen that the Lord is good. Hey guys, Louis Giglio here, and I'm so excited to announce that we're hosting Speak Conference again this year in Atlanta, Georgia, on May 16th and 17th. Speak is designed to be a space where preachers and teachers can gather together to grow in the art and heart of preaching. We're gathering some of my favorite preachers and speakers to equip us to communicate the gospel clearly and compellingly while cultivating the proper heart posture for preaching. Speak has been a long-time dream of mine, to create a space where preachers can learn together, encourage one another, and be renewed in their calling to preach the gospel. If you've sensed a calling on your life to teach God's word, we would love to see you there. Check out speakconference.com for all the details.
Yes. Yes, amen.
Amen.
Talk about the record just a little bit. It's 95 minutes long. Has 14 tracks on it. The last two tracks are a solid half hour. So people are going to get their money's worth.
That's right. Not a minute wasted.
And I don't know. There's a lot of new songs. There was a lot of work that you guys did. Mm-hmm. You and some guys wrote a phenomenal song called The Lord Will Provide, which just went off in the room. Like, I've rarely seen a song go off like that. The first time it came out, it went off.
Wow.
And we released it a few days ago, and it's tracking faster, or as fast as any Passion song. People are searching for that song and want to experience God in it. But you didn't lead it. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Again, for all of us leaders who are in this conversation today, you wrote a great song that went off, but you passed it to somebody else on our team to lead and cheered them on, coached them, I heard, helped them kind of find their own voice in the song, and then just enjoyed it with everybody else.
That's right. I did. Yeah. I did enjoy it with everybody else. I enjoyed it a lot. But... yes, I love this song. I love the truth in this song. It's something I've held on to throughout a lot of seasons of life where I think we all stress about where things are going, what's coming up in the future. And God always leads me back to this Matthew 6, where he's going, you know, if I'm going to take care of the flowers of the field, birds of the air, how why would I not take care of you?
Wow. Yeah.
And so he gives us a job to do. One job is to just to seek the kingdom. So trust God for the future, seek the kingdom for today. And so I love that. And I think that's from the songwriting, like for me, the songs that have come from a more personal place tend to have been the songs that resonate with other people. Mm-hmm. And so that I think was really amazing. And then here you got Landon, who's just an amazing leader that's rising up here at our church, and he led it with such authority. And you know, there's a line in the song that says, "I know my God's not empty-handed; He gives us blessings upon blessings." It's a little against the ethos of the song. It's for me to be like, "No, I think I'd like to hold on to this song right now." But just to be able to go like, God, get, you know, he's given this song, he's given us this truth, this hope. Why would I not open up my hands and say, yes, that's, you know, especially as our team was kind of coming into those final moments, getting ready for Passion. And I was so happy and so proud of Landon in that in that moment. And then to just see what that's doing, I was not on stage at that session that we first played it. And I just remember having this sense from God that, man, God, you must be calling this generation to something that's so great. That, and behind any great calling, you know there's going to be hardship.
Yeah.
You know there's going to be heartbreak. And it's like, there was so much, like, heaven language in our songs. That's this, and we needed that. We needed that, like, transcendent lift up kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we also know that we're still kind of moving through a broken world. And I just kept thinking, I think God wants to put this truth in their bag to say, whatever he's calling you to, trust me, I'm going to provide all those steps. So I had a songwriter friend tell me a long, long time ago, he said, it doesn't matter who's singing the song, our job is that the church is singing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that really freed me up a long time ago.
Beautiful.
So one of my favorite moments from that session was when that song was happening.
Yeah.
And you could like, oh my, this is like on fire.
Yeah.
And I remember standing at the back of the B stage and catching your eye and like going, you were like, I know. Because you were sitting like right over there at a perfect view. It was like such a great moment.
Well, and I think it's like, as we were talking about Agnes Dei and this, it's like the goal isn't even, the songs aren't the goal.
No.
Being with that faith in God.
Yeah. That's right.
Being with you, like, that's the goal.
That's
so
right.
Yeah.
However we get there.
Right.
I want to get on the bus.
That's right. You
know, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good.
That's awesome.
Christian, talk about the journey from you and Sean and Cody. Writing on He Who Is to Come. I think that's who was on the song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As that came out, I second guessed myself and I'm looking across here at Label Boss and making sure I got it right. But talk about when the song kind of hit you, maybe as you guys were writing it, and then kind of take us fast forward a little bit to the bends and seeing what was happening in the stadium.
Man, I mean, I think
I do remember you sending me the song and saying, "I'm real, real fired up about
this." Yeah, we're real fired up about this. Yeah, it did feel, you know, sometimes you work on songs, and that day it felt like God had opened a door and let us walk through and just catch a glimpse again, it's something he wanted to say and something he wanted to show us about the kingship of Jesus and his coming kingdom and that reality. And to be honest, you know, we were writing the song and, you know, we were passing around, you know, we had a few different resources on the table. We had, you know, Bible open and a couple other books, and we were like passing things around and writing out. And then when it was all completed, I just remember looking at it like going, wow, before we go and carry this song, I need to go grow in my knowledge of what we're singing.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And so from about that month to the end of the year started a real journey for me personally. And I had read through Revelation before, and I had studied some of that stuff, but really diving in and wanting to understand the imagery and the symbolism and the truth and catch a vision of that Jesus so that when we stood up to lead that song at conference, we could do it with authority.
Wow.
Like we had already seen it. So we were leading from a place of revelation. And the first time we led it, I think, was on the road to Passion 2024. I think we were somewhere in Alabama.
Somewhere in Alabama.
I remember leading it and going, man.
I like that, somewhere in Alabama.
Somewhere in Alabama.
Somewhere in Alabama.
It was Tuscaloosa. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
That's a good way to, I think that's a good description of Tuscaloosa. Somewhere in Alabama.
Somewhere in Alabama.
Just keep my mouth shut.
Shout out, yeah. Shout out. It may not have been Tuscaloosa. We just have a Roll Tide fan here. She's like, I'm going to get Tuscaloosa in there one way or the other. But it just was clear from the first time we led it that, you know, especially that line, all this tension growing stronger. Yeah. You know, it's just a sign he's getting closer. He's already on the move. That resonated instantly because we're all living in that tension. We're all living in that two kingdoms pushing up against each other. I mean, this kingdom of God is coming, but the kingdom of the world does not. Kingdom of this world doesn't want that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're like in that that wrestle. And so, man, what a beautiful, hopeful thing to say, like just to announce the future in that way. Say, here's where we're going. The story's already been written. He's coming, new heaven and new earth. Mm-hmm. That's where we're headed. Mm-hmm. And to stand, you know, and lead that at conference was just so beautiful, just to set that picture in the hearts of a generation.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about what you're saying, we could lead with authority. Mm. This is something that I am really passionate about right now. Mm. You know, it's just seeing people step into authority to lead, if they have it. You know, everybody doesn't have a stewardship, you know, equal authority, I don't think necessarily. I think some of that's anointing and it's the talents, and I don't know how any of that works, but I know that if you're going to step in front of a room or a house or a stadium, you have to have more than talent. You have to have some kind of spiritual authority in that moment. What does that mean exactly, and how would a worship leader start getting close to that if they don't know what that is or know if they have it?
Well, I can just speak for me. It starts with aligning my whole life with the way of God and the word of God. Yeah. Like every part of every square inch of my life aligned with his heart and what he wants. And that means saying no to quite a few things so I can say yes to other things. And as our lives align with him and we are face to face with him and that intimacy grows and that it's like you don't even really know that you wouldn't even know if you'd call it authority. You're just leading out of the overflow of what you're experiencing. Yeah. So you're just in that, and then it works its way out. It bursts forth.
That's a great way to say it.
And I think it's that intimacy, that alignment, that holy living, you know, setting yourself apart. And I've been in Colossians, and in Colossians 2, and then it moves into 3, it says, it's not about don't do this, don't do this, don't touch this, don't taste this. It's not about that.
Yeah.
It's about set your minds on things above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you, that's the goal. So it's just look at Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at Jesus and just immerse yourself in the reality of his kingdom get his word so inside of you that it's just what you're living and you're breathing. And then the authority, I think, flows out from there, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree. No, I agree, because I think I find it's the stuff of, it's where things are happening in my life, it overflows into the music is the overflow of what's happening in life. And so I think where I wrestle with God, or where I'm needing to reorder or realign my life and with him, and as I do that, I think that's where I see and experience his goodness and his grace and his mercy. And I think when we make music, or when we lead people, or when we do the things he's called us to do, it's because we're with him. We're walking with him. he's the one, the king gave us our authority, kind of a thing.
Yeah,
I think you look at the life of Jesus, and he came under the authority of his father. Mm-hmm. And so it's also about coming under authority.
Yeah.
And he came and said, not my will, but yours be done. And so every time I am asked to lead, every day of my life, like not just on a stage, most of my life is not on a stage. Right. It's what, you know, it's what Christian is saying, every point of my life, but it's coming up under the authority of Jesus and saying, not my will, but yours be done in this space. Like, I may have these ideas for what should happen, but I want more than that. I want the Father's will. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come up under that authority.
I think it sets us free when we get into that space to be legitimately a believer in what we're saying or what we're singing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, oh, I like this song, or these are cool lyrics, or this is in my range, or
that's right,
I'm really good on this kind of song. It's like, I really, really, really believe everything either I'm preaching right now or everything that I'm singing right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing it allows in me and in us, I think, is to not be overwhelmingly concerned with what they think about me.
Right.
And that's where, you know, you see the authority, you see a different gear, you see somebody who's not disconnected from the people, because I'm called to lead them, serve them, help them, show them Jesus, take them to Jesus if possible, proclaim Jesus, point to Jesus. I'm for them. I'm here for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To serve them.
Right.
But at the same time, I just think when we get too focused on what are they thinking about my preaching right now, or what are they thinking about the way I'm singing or leading right now, then the authority just goes out the window because we've lost the focus on who he is and what we're proclaiming is true about him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You set yourself on fire, and the fire will spread. You know, burn for him, and the fire will spread.
Yeah. Someone said about you, Christian, somewhere going into conference, I think at any moment now, Christian is going to combust.
Yes, you know, that's very accurate.
Into flame. There was something building that all of us were watching happen. I still have it in my phone, but our texts were not super frequent in the days of conference, but at some point I texted you, there's something on you. And you know, it's just, you could see God bursting through. You could see him moving through you and through all of you in a really powerful and beautiful way. Before we wrap up, so now you're writing songs again. So we already spent a whole year writing songs.
Yeah.
And then we recorded a lot of songs, and then we're releasing a lot of songs, and now you're back to songwriting again. Yeah. And how do you possibly find the creativity, the rhythm to stay at it after such an intense stretch of writing and releasing?
Oh, I have personally not written a song yet this year. I'll just go ahead and admit it. I have not. I have taken a break. I have just said, let's just sit in this moment for a little bit. That'll all change next week, or, you know, in a couple days. But it's just
could
taking,
change right
you know,
now.
It could,
we could
right,
just get
it
into
could.
Something right
we have microphones.
Right now.
Let's do this.
But just taking a step away, honestly, is how, you know, like, and just getting back into the word. I mean, that's what you were even saying earlier, is so much of the songs that we write it's theology, and it's the word of God, and that's where we want our songs to come out of. And so it's just getting back in the word, and not that I ever left, but, you know, just like getting in that space of just being with Jesus again and letting songs come from that space. But I took a break. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, there's we've already seen a lot this year.
Yeah.
And so it feels like, man, we've already taken in so much. How do we express that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Continuing to make space to do that. I heard some more of the story of Agnus Dei, like after conference was over, and I was, you know, learning more about how the song came to be, and, you know, it just happened in the basement. You know, Michael W. Smith just in the basement, just playing, worshiping God.
Yeah.
Just there he was in the basement, just playing the piano, and down drops this song. And 35 years later, we're, you know, still singing it. And man, that for me is just the goal. Mm-hmm. Just to worship and just to sit at the piano or sit with God and sit with a guitar and just go, I just want to worship you. And whatever's meant to come out, all that we've taken in and all that we've seen, it will work itself out. Just making space to do that.
I completely agree. I feel like, you know, I maybe right after Passion, I tried to honestly just for me, writing is a way of processing. Mm-hmm. And so I was just trying to process all that Jesus was showing me at Passion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, whoa, you know. And so, and then also I don't, like in this season, you know, coming off of, I take the pressure off of like, oh, I have to say something. Or because, you know, there was a 6-month stretch of we were honing in on what it is that God wanted it to say and trying to triangulate that and figure that out. And
that's right.
Well, I kind of enjoy this season too, because now it's like, well, let's just write a song.
Yeah.
You know, like let's write a song. Let's have fun today. Yeah. And I think it's, but what I found is just the consistency and enjoying the process of like observing, looking, trying to sense.
Yes.
That's
and then
great.
Trying to
that's great.
Express that. Yeah. And if I do that today, I did my job, you know? And some point along, if you're consistent in that, at some point God's going to be like, okay, cool. Oh, by the, because I mean, Lord Provide was on an afternoon like that. Who knew? I was just, I went to do a podcast in Nashville, fitted in that afternoon. And wow, you know, like, and so it's just, you don't know when
you don't,
it's going to, like, God's going to say, hey, here's what you needed.
Yeah. Stay ready.
Yeah. God does what he wants.
Yep.
When he wants.
Right.
How he wants. Mm-hmm. Through whom he wants.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's right.
It's hard to get him on our schedule.
That's right.
And we are on his schedule. Yep.
That's right.
I think two big takeaways as we wrap up for me. If you create space, holy space, God will fill it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want to be a space maker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go, I've got all my stuff lined out and I know how this is going to go. I want to be prepared.
Yeah.
I always want to come prepared. I want to work hard and be prepared. But in that, I want to make space just to see if maybe God has something in mind that I didn't prepare. And I think the other thing that I want to take away from Passion is I want that today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, high water marks. There's a friend of mine who always, every Passion conference, everyone will be praying before, the day or two before, and he'll always say every year, man, I just hope we have a moment like Passion 99.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, we did one day. That was pretty special. We did one day 03. That was pretty great. We had this big scrim that came up in Nashville in 2005 or 6, and that was a pretty great moment.
I was there.
But he's like, I know, but that Passion 99 moment. And I turned around sometime after the whole session was over on that day, and I just was like, I think we're good on Passion 99. And it was a
maybe
special
his text will change to Passion 24.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I talked to him about it afterwards, and he goes, "I know it was almost. It was. He didn't say almost. He
Man,
said,
I've heard about Passion 99 for so long.
But he did. It wasn't like New Day. It was like yes, two amazing moments in life. You know, perfect. But Passion 99, beautiful. There was a God moment. There was a unbelievable, unplanned.
Wow.
God just came into this little crack of space, and then heaven, you know, opened up, seemed like. And it was very, very special. I was on my face down on the floor, and it was powerful. Yeah. And this is a moment like that. No one will ever forget it who was in that space. But I don't want to be looking back at that moment for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to be expecting God
to
continue to do what God does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it, whenever he wants to do it, and through whomever he wants to do it, God is doing something new.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Call on Heaven is the album, maybe the longest live album of all time.
Come on. Come on.
Yep.
It's a double. If it was old days, it would be double CD.
Yeah, double disc. Double disc, yeah. For sure.
Cannot fit 95 minutes on a CD. So, no. It's beautiful,
it's
powerful journey. Yeah. Thank you guys. Yeah. And I know the team is much broader than just the three of you
guys.
And we are grateful for all of the team that led out at conference this year in such amazing ways. And a lot of our friends are on this album as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Folks who were at Passion with us. And there were so many more great things. I think we could have done 95 more minutes of music.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We definitely could.
It was just a lot of, man, I love that. I wish we could put that on. Or, you know, so maybe there'll be a deluxe bonus something down the road. I don't know. I don't have the authority to speak into that
now. Well, we talk about authority.
We'll see.
We need that talk. We need your talk out there.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah, well, that was about 95 minutes. So that'll be a whole other thing.
It's beautiful.
Call on Heaven is the album. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing journey, amazing grace of God, amazing what we got to experience together. Love you guys so much.
You.
And
love you.
Appreciate everybody being with us on this episode of the Passion and Purpose Podcast.